rose up from the ground behind him. In front of him was a vast expanse of rolling hills and plains. Crouching next to him was a young man in leather armor, his face shadowed by the hood of the cloak he wore.
"Where am I?"
Alex asked. His mouth felt sticky, and his body ached as if he had walked a long way in a short amount of time.
"You're beyond the wall," the man said.
"The wall?"
Alex repeated.
"Between the living and the dead," the man said.
"Which is impossible, because I think you're still alive. How did you manage that?" "I'm looking for someone," Alex managed.
The pain in his side was still there, but it had lessened to a dull throb instead of a sharp stab.
"Who?" the man asked.
I don't remember," Alex admitted. "Wait, you said we were beyond the wall?"
The man nodded and extended his hand to help Alex to his feet.
"I've been here a long time, and I've seen a lot of people come here, but never anyone like you. What's your name?"
I don't remember," Alex said again. "Who are you?"
"Zane Blackridge."
He said it as though he expected Alex to have heard of him. He pushed back his hood, revealing a young face with blue eyes and blonde hair. When Alex shook his head without recognition, Zane's friendly expression hardened a little.
"I'm sorry," Alex said. "I'm still trying to get my bearings."
Zane folded his arms across his chest and looked Alex up and down. His gaze seemed to linger for a brief second on the axe of sundering.
"You said you were looking for someone. Might that someone be a wizard?"
A memory rushed into Alex's mind.
"Yes, a wizard, exactly."
But he still couldn't conjure up a face to go with the memory. Was the wizard young? Old? He didn't know. He just felt that he would recognize him when he saw him.
"I suspected as much," Zane said. "He must be someone pretty important and powerful to have you come looking for him in the Shadowlands."
"He's the most powerful wizard who ever lived," Alex said without thinking.
The friendly smile returned to Zane's face.
"That's good to know. Can I ask, what are your plans for when you find him?"
"I need to help him," Alex said. "I came here to help him, to bring him back, if I can."
Zane's smile grew.
"You sound like a good friend to have when trouble shows up."
Alex's memory was still shattered, but it felt like a voice was murmuring to him, low, in the back of his mind, and urging caution, perhaps even distrust.
"You know, since I know this place probably better than anyone else, I could help you look for your friend," Zane said.
"Be careful,"
the voice in Alex's head said again. It sounded familiar, but Alex didn't know from where.
"How long have you been here?" Alex asked.
Zane shrugged. "Longer than I would have liked. When we find your friend, maybe you could help me too."
"Help you? How?"
Alex took a step back from Zane. Zane licked his lips and looked down at the axe.
"You know how to use that?"
Alex touched the axe and hesitated.
"Can I see it?"
Zane stepped closer to Alex.
"The workmanship looks incredible."
A rush of wind blew past Alex, materializing into an old man in worn wizard's robes.
"Stop, Alex," the wizard said. "Step away from him."
Alex obeyed without question. Memories flooded his mind like a wildfire burning away dry grass. He put his hand to his forehead.
"Waylon?" he gasped.
"Stay out of this, old man,"
Zane snarled, all traces of friendliness gone from his face.
"This is none of your business." Actually, it is.
Waylon glanced at Alex.
Send him away, Alex. Now!
Alex shook his head. I don't know how. He could feel a well of power inside of him, but he couldn't remember how to use it. Waylon took his hand, and the golden thread that had connected them once before appeared again.
I know the spell. You have the power. Now, banish him!
Unknown words filled Alex's mind, and he spoke them automatically. The power obeyed his command, shooting out of his fingertips like a tornado. It swallowed Zane in a cloud of dust and carried him away. Waylon released Alex's hand and pulled him into an embrace.
It's good to see you. I'm glad you got my message. I wasn't sure it would work. Galen didn't touch you, did he?
No. Well, I don't think so. Are you dead? Alex asked. Waylon felt real, but so much in this place was not what it appeared to be.
Yes, but it doesn't matter,
Waylon said.
We don't have much time. He'll be back soon.
Who was that man? Zane.
He is the dark wizard Galen hopes to free from death. He is the original founder of the Brotherhood, and if we don't stop him, evil will overtake the known world.
But he is dead. He cannot cross the wall. Nothing can.
He could if the wall was broken.
Waylon looked at the axe at Alex's belt.
If it was sundered.
Realization dawned on Alex. This was Galen's plan. To use the axe so Zane could break free of death and return to the land of the living.
Yes,
Waylon said. Alex looked at the wall beside him. The top only reached to his waist. Over it, he could see the gray lands and the rolling hills that were familiar to him from his previous trips to the wall, though he had never been on this side of the wall before.
Zane must not put his hands on the axe, Waylon said. The wall must be protected. It must remain unbroken.
And the dead must stay on this side of the wall, Alex whispered. Waylon put his hand on Alex's shoulder.
Yes. I know you want to help me, but you cannot bring me back to the land of the living without opening the way for Zane to follow. That must never happen. He must stay here.
I can't leave you here, Alex said. You can't be dead.
It is too late for me,
Waylon said.
If I had been able to access my magic, perhaps I could have stopped Galen another way. But at the time, I didn't have any other choice. Dying to save you was one of the best things I have ever done with my life. I am an old man. I have lived a good life. You still have things you need to do, adventures to go on, knowledge to gain, people to help. Go now. Take the axe far away from here. Defeat Galen, and never come back here. It is the only way.
I won't leave you, Alex said.
You must.
How am I even supposed to return to the other side of the wall? Alex asked. Climb over the top? I can't use the axe.
No, you must return the same way you arrived, by using your dragon magic.
Alex nodded. His memories had returned, and he knew the spell that would take him back to Galen.
I am so proud of you, Alex. You are a fierce warrior and a powerful wizard, but most of all, you are a good man.
Alex embraced Waylon. Thank you, he said. I will never forget you. A gust of wind blew past the two wizards, and Alex looked up. Zane had returned with a storm of his own. Power rolled off him in waves. Anger had turned his blue eyes to ice, and his cloak billowed behind him like a dark shadow.
Give me the axe!
Zane thundered. He strode toward Alex, his hand outstretched. Alex pushed Waylon behind him to protect him.
Never!
Alex shouted back.
You dare to deny me, you worthless, pitiful, embarrassing excuse for a wizard?
Zane gestured wide with his arm, and a bolt of lightning shot out of the clear sky and scorched the ground inches in front of Alex's feet.
You think you can defeat me? You can't kill me! I'm already dead!
Alex held his ground. He kept his hand on the axe, determined to keep it from Zane no matter what.
We have all the time in the world here, Zane said. Eventually, you will wither and die of old age, and I will still be as you see me.
Zane circled Alex, his footprints lined with fire.
I suppose I could simply wait and then take the axe from your cold corpse, but I've never had much use for patience.
Alex moved in a circle as well, always keeping his eyes on Zane.
I fear I cannot help you, Waylon murmured to Alex. Without my power, and if I stay here, I know you will try to protect me, and that will distract you from this battle that you must not lose.
Waylon, Alex began, but then he felt a gust of wind behind him and knew that Waylon had vanished, moving away to a safer place.
Do you know how long I have worked and waited for this moment?
Zane said. You'll have to wait even longer, Alex said. He worked a spell, and a ball of ice flew from his fingers, heading straight for Zane's chest. Zane's body suddenly became transparent, like he was a ghost, and the ice flew through Zane's body, crashing against the stone wall and shattering on impact. Zane laughed.
As I said, pitiful.
He returned to his more solid form and summoned a cloud of green gas that enveloped Alex.
And useless.
Alex coughed and gasped as the toxic gas filled his mouth and lungs. His eyes burned. He summoned a rain shower and the gas evaporated with a hiss as the water washed it away.
Better, Zane said. What else can you do, I wonder?
Alex's mind raced. Zane was dead, and any weapon or spell he crafted to attack his body wouldn't work. The ice ball had proven that. Alex changed tactics. He drew on his magic and created an illusion of himself, multiplying copies of himself until there were a dozen identical versions of Alex, holding a dozen identical versions of the axe. The illusions raced around Zane in a circle, trying to disorient the wizard. When they stopped, Alex had his back to the stone wall. He held his breath, hoping that his trick would work. Zane shook his head.
As if I could be fooled by something so primitive as an illusion spell. The dead can see more clearly than the living. I know exactly which one is the real you.
His eyes suddenly glowed red, and he swung his arm in an overhand throw as if releasing a dagger. But instead of a steel blade, he threw a shaft of red light sharpened to a point. It pierced Alex's shoulder, pinning him to the wall. Alex slumped against the shaft of light. It was the only thing holding him upright. The illusions around him vanished as if they had never existed. Zane dusted his hands together, as if wiping away a layer of dirt.
There is nothing you can do to stop me, so why don't you just give me the axe and all of this can be over? You can die and be with your friend Waylon, and I can return to claim the power that is rightfully mine.
Alex struggled to pull the shaft of light out of his shoulder, but it was wedged tightly into the wall. He couldn't pull it loose. Zane stood in front of Alex and smiled.
Galen began as my apprentice 2,000 years ago.
You've seen his power. You know what he can do. I am far older and so much more powerful. You will fail, and I will win. Accept it.
Alex released his grip on the shaft of red light and unsheathed the axe in nearly the same motion. He held it across his chest, blade glowing with a fierce inner light. Zane was too close for Alex to manage a proper swing, but all Alex needed to do was get the edge of the weapon as close to Zane as possible. Before Alex could move, Zane lunged forward and wrapped his hands around Alex's wrists. Alex struggled to maintain control of the axe, but Zane had better footing, better positioning, and better leverage. Alex was still pinned to the wall. There was nowhere he could go. Slowly, Zane pushed forward, twisting Alex's wrists until he feared they might break. Sweat beaded on Alex's forehead. He could feel himself losing ground. The pain in his side was overwhelming, and with one arm pinned to the wall, he was not strong enough. He gritted his teeth and redoubled his efforts. Zane bared his teeth in a grimace and leaned more of his weight forward. He pushed Alex's arms up as far as they would go until the axe was past Alex's chest and head. Slowly, so slowly, Zane forced the blade of the axe of sundering toward the edge of the wall. Alex gathered all his strength and roared with one last effort to stop Zane. But it wasn't enough. Zane drove the axe of sundering into the stones at the top of the wall. A tremor ran down the shaft of the axe. The weapon quivered in Alex's hands, and then a blast of white light exploded from the axe. The earth rumbled beneath Alex. Zane took a step back, triumph in his eyes. The shaft of red light vanished, and Alex slumped to the ground. He twisted on his knees and saw a crack splitting the wall from top to bottom where the axe blade touched the wall. "No," Alex whispered through numb lips. He looked around, hoping to see Waylon, hoping there was something he could do to stop what was happening. The crack widened and spread as the stone surrounding it began to crumble to dust. Zane began to laugh madly. Out of the corner of his eye, Alex saw a dark cloud begin to gather. He thought Zane had summoned another storm, but as it drew closer, he saw that the darkness was filled with spirits of the dead. They were pushing forward, racing forward, each one eager to be the first one through the crack in the wall.
"No!"
Alex shouted, but his voice was lost in the roar of the oncoming wave of the dead.
"Stop!"
If the spirits heard him, they ignored him. Zane caught Alex's eye, inclined his head in a nod, and then he stepped through the crack in the wall and was gone. Chapter 25. A New Name. Alex groaned. How could he have failed so terribly? He had been rash and foolish and angry, and now the wall was broken. Zane was free, and the Brotherhood would soon be in complete control of the known lands. This was not what he had intended, not what he had promised to do, but everything had happened so fast, and he had been all alone. On his other adventures, he'd often had his friends with him to help him fight the battles or solve the problems, but this time the burden sat squarely on his shoulders. He scrubbed the sweat from his eyes with his good arm. The one that had been pierced by the shaft of red light hung limp by his side. He coughed, the motion tugging at his broken ribs, and blood filled his mouth. He spat it out and shook his head. He had failed. There would be no calling back the spirits of the dead. There was no way to mend the wall. He had unleashed a terrible fate into the world of the living. He was not fit to be a warrior or a wizard, and worst of all, he didn't feel fit to claim the title of Dragon Lord. All his training and experience and knowledge had not helped him in the moment when it mattered the most. A single decision to try to use the Axe of Sundering, even knowing the danger it carried, and all the good he had done, had been turned to evil. "I cannot make this right," he muttered. "I don't know how."
"I have never known you to be a liar, Alex, not even to yourself,"
a deep voice said nearby. Alex lifted his head, and his mouth dropped open in surprise. Salinor stood on the other side of the wall, his true silver scales shining against the softer gray landscape behind him. He drew himself up to his full height, towering over Alex, who was still crouched by the wall, and snapped open his wings with a sound like a thunderclap.
"Salinor?" Alex asked weakly. "How did you get here? You were hidden away on the Isle of Bones."
"A dragon may go wherever he is needed, and at this time, I am needed here."
He folded his great wings back against his powerful body. He snaked his head down to Alex's eye level.
"I am here to help you."
"No one can help me," Alex muttered. "I have failed you. I have failed Waylon. I have failed myself. I destroyed the wall."
He pointed at the cracked stones around his feet. "I let Zane back into the world."
"You know I have no love for Zane or Galen or the Brotherhood, but Zane did say one thing that was true."
"That he will reclaim his power and rule the known lands?" Alex asked bitterly.
"No, that he will never do. Not as long as there is a true silver dragon drawing breath. Never. So long as the Guardians remain."
"What then? What did he say that was true?"
"That you can take the measure of a man from his failures better than from his successes."
Alex gestured to the empty shadowlands around him.
"Then take my measure, Salinor, because I find I have come up short."
Salinor shook his head.
"Everyone fails at some point. It is what you do next that matters."
Alex scrubbed his hand through his hair.
"There is nothing I can do."
Salinor remained silent. The moment stretched out between them. Then he said, with a kind curiosity,
"Do you truly believe that?"
Alex bowed his head. He thought back over his adventures. He had defeated trolls, bandits, and goblins. He had befriended elves, dwarfs, and oracles. He had helped his friends with their problems, sometimes even saving their lives. Even when a situation had seemed hopeless, he had always found a solution. He had been in dark places before, and had always managed to find his way to the light.
"Is this really so different?"
Salinor asked, as if reading Alex's thoughts.
"Your adventures, your choices, have led you to become a man of honor. What would an honorable man do now?"
"He would not give up," Alex said quietly, "no matter what."
Salinor nodded solemnly.
"Will you give up now, when the need is so great?"
Alex reached out to grasp the stone wall. He used it for support as he pulled himself to his feet. He was broken and bloody, but he lifted his eyes to meet Salinor's piercing gaze. No, I will never give up. Salinor threw back his head and roared in triumph. The silver sheen to his scales grew brighter and brighter until Alex had to shield his eyes from the glare.
Alexander Taylor,
Salinor said, his voice deep and his tone formal.
You have proven yourself more than a man, more than a wizard, even more than a dragon lord. You are a true silver dragon, and now it is time for you to accept your destiny.
Alex swayed on his feet, but he forced himself to remain upright. What must I do?
True silver dragons are guardians of people, places, ideas. We guard the world and protect it from evil in whatever form it takes.
And I am to be one of these guardians? How?
You always had the potential to be a guardian, but it was your choices, your successes and your failures that brought you to this point. At this moment, you are a nameless dragon. If you are willing to take your true dragon name and accept your role as a guardian, you can mend the wall and set things right.
I can fix my mistake? Alex asked, hope filling his heart. Salinor nodded.
It will not be easy, but yes, it can be done.
Then I accept, Alex said. Tell me my dragon name, and I will do whatever I must to stop Zane, Galen, and the Brotherhood.
I cannot tell you your dragon name,
Salinor said.
You must find it within yourself. It is powerful and personal. When you find it, you must keep it a secret, because those who know your true dragon name would then have some power over you.
I understand, Alex said. He remembered when Salinor had entrusted him with his true name and the feeling of power that had swept through him. How will I know when I have found my true name?
You will know,
Salinor said. Alex nodded and closed his eyes. He reached deep into himself, looking for the path that would lead him to his true dragon name. Alex stood on a path that led through a dark wood. He knew he hadn't really gone anywhere, that his body was still standing by the wall between life and death, and that what he was seeing was only an illusion, a kind of vision that would help him find what he needed.
Quickly now,
Salinor's voice said in his head.
Stay true.
Alex stepped forward, and the trees around him seemed to draw closer, forcing him to stay in the center of the path and narrowing his choices. He walked faster until he was almost running. The path rolled out in front of him, leading him deeper and deeper into the forest. The tall trunks that lined the path rose up and over his head, the branches tangling together and turning it into a tunnel. Still, Alex pressed on. He could sense the urgency. He needed to find the name. He had no other choice but to go forward. He followed the tunnel as it twisted and turned until it eventually led him to a small clearing. A bonfire with true silver flames burned in the center of the clearing. Alex stepped forward, his eyes fixed on the fire. He had reached the deepest part of himself, a secret and private place. He looked around. The tunnel had closed behind him. He was alone in the clearing. A great peace settled over him. He couldn't feel his wounds anymore. He had shed his doubts and fears, and all that was left was a calm confidence that he was doing the right thing. I am Alexander Taylor, he said to the flames. They flared at the sound of his voice. I am a true silver dragon, and I have come to accept my destiny as a guardian of the good. The flames sparked and twisted. I have come to claim my true name. The silver flames spread out in thin tendrils along the ground, moving and twisting as though drawn by an invisible hand. They blazed with a white, hot light, and then faded in a flash until only a line of coals remained of the bonfire. The glowing lines spelled out a name on the ground. Alex took a step back.
Invictus, he whispered.
As soon as the name passed his lips, he felt power like he had never known before surge through him. It mended his broken ribs and healed his wounds. It filled him with a light so tangible, he wondered why it wasn't seeping through his skin. His true name echoed inside of him, melding into his bones and muscles. He was whole. Without a thought, he transformed into his truest self, a giant, true silver dragon. His claws gouged great trenches into the ground beneath him. His tail broke through the tunnel behind him. His wings snapped open, and he launched himself into the air. His roar shattered the sky. Alex opened his eyes, surprised to see he was eye to eye with Salinor. He thought his transformation had been part of the vision quest, but now he saw he had changed in reality as well. In his true silver dragon form, he was nearly as tall and as large as Salinor, the most ancient of all dragons. Salinor bowed his head.
Welcome, brother,
he said in Alex's mind.
Salinor,
Alex replied,
I would have lost myself today if you had not shown me the truth. Long ago, you trusted me enough to share your name with me. I wish to do the same.
It is not necessary.
It is, Alex said. My name is Invictus.
Salinor bowed his head again.
I am honored to meet you, Invictus. Darlok est messer.
He spread his wings, and his shadow fell over Alex.
I name you guardian of the wall between the living and the dead.
Alex's breath left him in a rush.
You want me to guard the wall, even after I cracked it?
It is because you cracked it that you are the only one who can restore it to wholeness. The power is within you. As guardian, you need only reach out and make whole what was broken.
Alex looked down at the crumbling section of the wall. It seemed such a small crack, but it had resulted in great damage. If he could fix it, he would. He had to.
But first,
Salinor said,
you must return the evil that has escaped to the Shadowlands, where it belongs.
How?
Defeat Galen. Defeat Zane. Destroy the Brotherhood. Then you will be able to mend the wall.
Alex nodded.
I will not fail you, my brother.
Alex gathered all his strength and his dragon magic, and then sprang into the air, his wings spread wide. He soared over the wall and saw a black streak of ash marking the gray lands below him. Zane had left devastation in his wake, which made it easy for Alex to follow the path toward a distant hilltop, where a speck of light was twinkling like a fallen star. As Alex drew closer, he saw that the light was actually coming through the open shutters leading into Galen's headquarters. He remembered the two large windows on either side of the room, and that the one connected to the Grey Lands was only one way. The glass separating the portal had been shattered, blown through by Zane as he crossed over. As Alex flew through the same portal, he transformed from his dragon form back into a man. He landed hard and rolled to his feet, one hand on the axe at his belt, the other stretched out in front of him, a defensive spell tingling in his fingertips. The spell remained uncast. The room appeared empty, although Alex knew it was not. Galen and Zane had to be hiding somewhere. Shards of glass from the broken portal lay scattered across the floor of the main room. Alex took a step forward, careful not to step on any of the glass. He didn't want the sound of a crack to alert his enemies of his arrival. A door near the back of the room was ajar, and Alex made his way toward it. He positioned himself near the entrance, but didn't enter.
"My lord,"
Alex heard Galen say,
"I am at your service."
"You have done well," Zane said. "The Brotherhood has flourished under your leadership and care."
"Thank you, my lord,"
Galen said.
"I am honored by your trust in me."
Alex tightened his grip on the axe. Anger rose up in his chest. Galen had killed Waylon. Zane had plans to destroy the world. The Brotherhood had brought nothing but misery and evil to the known lands. Every bit of power that Alex possessed screamed at him to rush into the room and put an end to this once and for all. But he waited. He knew from experience that it wasn't always wise to be led by his anger. It appeared he still had the element of surprise on his side. That was an advantage worth holding on to.
"There is still one more service you can render for me,"
Zane said. His voice sounded strange to Alex's ear. It was thin and whispery, as though Zane was merely a shadow of his former self. Alex moved closer to the door and peered through the opening. He was careful not to reveal himself to the men inside the room. Galen knelt on the floor, his robes spread around him like a black puddle of oil. Zane hovered in front of him. Alex blinked and looked again. Yes, Zane was actually hovering. When Alex had confronted Zane on the other side of the wall, Zane had appeared solid. He had fought and attacked like a real person, but the Zane on this side of the wall was more ghost than man. The edges of his body were fuzzy and indistinct. He seemed to drift on a breeze that Alex couldn't feel. The faint light in the room shone through him.
"How may I serve you, my lord?"
Galen asked, bowing his head.
"Ask, and I will obey."
"My soul has escaped death, but my body has long since turned to dust. Without a new one, I am not nearly as powerful as I need to be."
Galen looked up at Zane.
"My lord?"
"You are young and strong. You are powerful in your own right. Together, we would be unstoppable."
Alex's anger turned white hot. Everything about this felt wrong to Alex, dangerously wrong. He had to put a stop to it. Now!
"Wait!"
Alex's Ogash said with sudden clarity. Alex looked down at the axe in his hand. He had grown accustomed to its weight and to its power. He felt connected to it in the same way he felt connected to Moonslayer and to his staff. It was a part of him, and as he felt the power in the axe surge into his body, his mind cleared and a plan began to form itself in his mind.
"I understand, my lord,"
Galen said. He threw back his head and opened his arms wide. Zane's eyes glittered, and a cold smile crossed his face. He nodded, and then his ghostly form swooped down and melted into Galen's body. Galen screamed and his body shook. He fell forward, bracing himself against the floor with his hands. His head dropped, and Alex saw blood trickling from his mouth.
My lord,
Galen's voice rasped in his throat.
I am here,
Zane's voice emerged from Galen's mouth. Alex shuddered. He had never seen anything like this on any of his previous adventures, and there was a terrible wrongness to it that made the hair on the back of his neck stand up.
Sleep now, Zane said. I will summon you if I need you, but for now, I must learn how to control this new body of mine.
Galen's head bobbed as if he were a puppet on a string, and then his eyes rolled back in his head. When they cleared, they were glowing red, just as they had been when Zane and Alex had fought.
Now!
Alex's Ogash yelled, and Alex burst into the room. Zane turned his head in surprise.
You! He spat. You can't be here! You should be rotting on the other side of the wall!
So should you,
Alex said. He summoned his newfound power as a true silver dragon guardian and channeled it all into the Axe of Sundering. Chapter 26. An Honorable Man. The weapon responded immediately, bursting with a white light. A low hum filled the room as energy crackled from the blade's edge. Zane lifted his hand and pointed it at Alex, but Alex was faster. He gestured with his free hand, curling his fingers into a fist, and then using his magic to throw Zane back against the wall. The dark wizard hit the wood with a thud, and then fell to his knees on the floor. He looked up at Alex, his red eyes glowing brighter than before. He pulled his lips back in a snarl.
You are a persistent little fly, but my patience with you has worn thin.
Alex took a step forward, his hand still pointing at Zane, keeping him pinned to the floor.
You couldn't defeat me when I was a spirit on the other side of the wall. Now that I have Galen's body and have added Galen's power to my own, I am indestructible. No one can defeat me now.
Alex clenched his teeth and tightened his hold on Zane. He could feel Zane using his own magic to test the limits of the binding spell. He was strong, stronger than Alex thought possible, but if Alex had learned anything during his adventures, it was that honor and goodness were always stronger than evil.
I'm not sure if I thanked you properly for breaking the wall for me, Zane said.
The veins in his neck throbbed with the dark wizard's efforts to find a weak spot in Alex's spell.
With the spirits of the dead now free, I will be able to add them to the Brotherhood, and my army, my power, will grow.
Alex took another step forward. The axe still blazed in his hand, and the power it contained both anchored him and strengthened him. The plan Alex had in mind would work. He was sure of it.
You are nothing, Zane spat. You are nobody. And I will crush you beneath my boot heel.
Alex finally spoke one simple word.
No.
The red light flickered in Zane's eyes, and an expression of uncertainty crossed his face.
You believe that because you are powerful, that you will win, Alex said.
He stood in front of Zane and looked down at the dark wizard on his knees.
You believe that because you want something, that you should get it. You believe that because you hold yourself in such high esteem, that you can force others to bow to your will.
Zane tried to scuttle away from Alex, but he couldn't move. His red eyes lost their glow and returned to a normal shade of blue. Alex shook his head.
But let me tell you what I know. I know that power should be used for good. I know that an honorable man is willing to make sacrifices for others, and I know that helping others creates strong friendships and lasting loyalty." Zane opened his mouth, but no words came out. His shoulders slumped as Alex tightened his spell around the dark wizard. Alex locked the binding spell and then held the Axe of Sundering with both hands. "And I know that evil will never win so long as there are good men willing to stand up for what is right." He felt a deep calm in the center of his being. He had faced many enemies and fought in many battles, but this fight was different. This one felt more important than all the others. The fate of the known lands hung in the balance, and Alex knew what he had to do. One last time, he swung the glowing Axe of Sundering in a wide arc. A loud crack sounded in the small room, and Zane's head rolled to a stop at Alex's feet, his body falling to the ground. Both the head and the body began to turn gray, then black, before they disintegrated into powder and ash. Even the wizard's robes were gone. Galen's body had been destroyed. Zane's soul had been destroyed. Alex had cut off the head of the snake that was the Brotherhood, and the evil it had spread across the known lands would now wither and die. He slipped the axe into his belt and bowed his head. Alex thought he would feel a sense of triumph at the victory, but he mostly felt sad inside. He was sad that Galen and Zane had spent so much of their lives and their energy pursuing power. He couldn't help but wonder what they might have been capable of if they had decided to be men of honor instead of men of evil. The ground rumbled beneath Alex's feet. A crack appeared in the floor, zigzagging its way towards the door and up the walls. Dust and bits of plaster rained down from the ceiling. Alex looked around in alarm. Galen's recreation of the Golden Swan began crumbling around the edges. Alex wondered if the actual tavern was experiencing the same damage. He hoped not. Alex ran back into the main room. The cracks in the floor and the walls continued to spread throughout the building. Alex saw a pile of gray ash on the floor. It was where Magnus's body had fallen after Galen had punished him. Alex smiled grimly. It appeared he had been right in thinking that the power of the Brotherhood had been broken, and those who had served its evil purposes would suffer the same fate as Galen and Zane. The building was collapsing around him. He had to find a way to escape. The two large windows on either side of the room trembled in their frames. The one leading to the Shadowlands was already shattered and fractured, but the one holding all the gateway images of the known lands was still intact. Just as Alex took a step toward it, the window exploded, showering him with sharp shards of colored glass. He twisted away and put his hands up to protect his face and head. Some of the shards still cut into him, and he felt small trickles of blood on his back and legs. He looked up, and his gaze was caught by the scene he saw through the window that connected the tavern to the Shadowlands. Alex could see the silvery sheen of Salinor's scales in the distance, and next to the dragon was a long, flowing shadow pouring through the cracked wall. The spirits of the dead were returning to the Shadowlands. Alex smiled. Here was more evidence that the Brotherhood's evil had been broken.
"It is time,"
Salinor's voice spoke in Alex's head.
"Time to mend the wall."
Alex nodded, even though he was alone in the room. He ran towards the window. Galen had said it was one way only, but Galen had never anticipated the power of a guardian. Alex jumped through the window and immediately transformed into his dragon form. He loved the feeling of freedom that came with the change. He pointed his snout toward the wall and beat his huge wings once, twice, three times, gaining speed with each downward thrust. In no time at all, he had reached the wall and touched down next to Salinor, folding his wings against his body.
"You made swift work of the Brotherhood, I see,"
Salinor said. "There is no time to waste," Alex answered. He looked over the wall. "Have all those who belong to the Shadowlands found their way home?" Salinor nodded.
"I believe so."
"Then it is time for me to fix my mistake and mend the wall." He had reached his claw out to gather the scattered stones when Salinor spoke.
"A moment, if you please."
"What is it?" Salinor nodded at a figure approaching the wall from the Shadowlands.
"Perhaps there is one last task for you to do."
Alex looked down and saw it was Waylon. "My friend," Alex said, "I am glad to see you are safe."
"Safe, yes," Waylon said, "and grateful that the Shadowlands have been set to rights again."
"Waylon, I cannot thank you enough for everything you have done for me. I wish Galen had not..." Alex stopped, sadness filling his throat. "You sacrificed your life for me."
"I would do it again,"
Waylon said. "You are a loyal and true friend," Alex said, "and a powerful force for good." Waylon inclined his head.
"I simply tried to do the right thing whenever I could."
"It's not fair," Alex began, then stopped, an idea sparking in his mind. He looked from Waylon to Salinor. "Salinor, what exactly do my duties as guardian of the wall require from me?" Salinor seemed to smile, as if he knew what Alex was thinking.
"You must protect the wall from any and all evil that might seek to break it. You must preserve the balance of light and darkness, and protect those who serve the light. You must swiftly answer any summons from any of the other guardians who call for you, and help them to the best of your abilities. You must fight for honor, loyalty, and goodness the rest of your days."
Alex nodded slowly. "I can accept those responsibilities." He smiled. "I learned how to do most of those on my adventures, after all." Salinor laughed.
"And I suspect you will learn even more on the adventures yet to come."
Alex tilted his head. "I thought being a guardian meant I couldn't go on any more adventures."
"Not at all. Being a guardian simply means you have more responsibilities,"
Salinor said.
"But there is nothing stopping you from choosing to undertake another adventure."
Alex nodded. "I understand, and I am glad to know that I can still go on adventures, though I think I will be taking a break from them for a while. I would like to spend some time learning how to be the best guardian I can be."
"I think that is wise,"
Salinor said.
"Now, ask me what you really wish to know."
Alex looked back to Waylon. "As guardian of the wall, am I allowed to make an exception if I feel it is warranted?"
"You are,"
Salinor said. "And how might I make that happen if I happen to find a soul worthy of granting access past the wall?" Salinor grinned and looked down at Waylon.
"You simply invite that soul to join you on this side of the wall."
Alex nodded and turned to Waylon. "Master Waylon Vankin, you are the noblest, strongest, best wizard I know. The known lands still need you. If you wish to continue fighting alongside me, I will grant you access to cross the wall."
Waylon stood up straight with pride.
"I do wish it, Alex."
I believe there is much more for you to do, and I would be honored to continue to be your mentor and your friend."
"Then cross the wall, Master Vankin." Alex gestured to the crack, glad for once that it was there. Waylon nodded and made his way through the broken stones. When he crossed the barrier, his wispy, ghostly form solidified back into a solid, normal man. Waylon looked down at his body, flexing his fingers and stretching his legs.
"I feel like a new man," he said with a laugh. "And my magic, it's back! I am whole again!"
Alex smiled, glad his friend had returned.
"The wall?"
Salinor prompted gently. "Oh, yes," Alex said. He reached out his giant silver claws and scooped up the scattered and broken stones. He stacked them back into place on the wall's foundation and sent a surge of power through his dragon's leg and into his claws. The stones fused together, stronger than before. When he removed his claw, no hint of a crack remained. Alex transformed back into his human form and turned to Waylon.
"That's done."
"And done well," Waylon said.
Salinor nodded his approval.
"Farewell, Master Taylor, Master Vankin,"
he said.
"Until we meet again."
The great dragon leaped into the air and flew away without another word. Alex watched until Salinor was a mere silver speck in the sky, and then even that disappeared from his sight. Waylon slapped him on the back and smiled.
"I believe our work here is done, Master Taylor. Wouldn't you agree?"
"For now," Alex said with a smile. "For now." Epilogue. Stories for another time. Alex stood at the end of a stone dock in the harbor of Valora. The sun was just rising in the east, and a gentle breeze was blowing out to sea. He could feel when Waylon approached, but he didn't move or speak.
"Early or late?"
Waylon asked.
"Early," Alex answered, knowing what Waylon meant. "A little more than 2 hours ago."
"Darthon and his people will be happy to see that you're back," said Waylon.
"Any word of Joshua and the other hostages?" Alex asked.
"They reached the city 3 days ago. Joshua's been asking about you, where you were and when you'd be back. He was very worried about you going off to the Blacklands alone. I think he's planned a mission to rescue you."
"There was no danger," Alex answered. "I made a vow to return to the Blacklands, and I had to keep it. Besides, I needed to retrieve Moonslayer."
"And?"
"The shadows are free at last," Alex said. "The sea elves are free to return to their ancient homes."
"And your other friend, the dragon Jabez had enslaved?"
"Flying south. It seems there are some fairly large islands there that the men of Jaro haven't yet discovered."
"Good. That's very good,"
Waylon said softly and fell silent. The two wizards stood in silence, watching the sea until the sun was fully up. Dock workers started to appear near the shore, and the city behind them began to wake.
"So,"
Waylon finally said,
"what's next then?"
"For you? Or for me?"
"For both of us, I suppose,"
said Waylon. "I imagine you're ready to go home, at least for a time."
"Yes, I am, even knowing what's coming."
"What's coming?"
"There will be a lot of questions, Alex. Wild rumors, nervous talk, fear even. You've destroyed the Brotherhood, Alex. Powerful people all over the known lands have mysteriously vanished. People will want to know what happened."
"There may not be as many questions as you think," Alex said, rubbing his chin. "And I think that most, if not all, of the questions should remain unanswered.
Unanswered? How would that help?
Alex shrugged. Powerful, well-known people have gone missing. What good could come from telling everyone that those who have gone missing were, in fact, evil? The Brotherhood was hidden for a reason. People won't want to hear that the people they trusted were evil.
No, I'm sure they don't want to hear that,
Waylon agreed. The Council of Wizards will need to know the truth, even if they don't believe it. But other than that, I just don't see any good coming from telling everyone what really happened.
You're right, Waylon said. This adventure of ours should remain mostly secret.
Good. Very good.
When do we start for home?
Waylon asked. I'm not going home. Not yet, anyway.
Oh?
Jabez left many evils and scars in Westland and in Jaro. They need to be healed.
Time will heal them, Alex. It isn't your task to undo all that Jabez did in this land.
No, it's not my task. But sometimes healing needs a little help. I think the Sea Elves will also need some help.
Yes, I think that's true,
Waylon said, a faint smile crossing his face.
I know of at least one elf who would be happy to have you stay for a time.
What?
I was just thinking. If you intend to stay in Jaro for a while, you might think of returning to Midland. Perhaps you could escort your friend Lupo to the Oracle. I'm sure that would please him, and improve his chances of seeing the Oracle.
That would make Lupo happy, Alex said, and it would give me a chance to explain why I had to lie to him. That would make me feel better, I think.
Yes, I'm sure that explaining things to Lupo would help you both,
Waylon replied, running his hand across his beard. There is much to be done, here and in other lands. If the Sea Elves are to become Dark Elves once more, and if Westland and Jaro are to be at peace, well...
There is indeed much to do, and many new adventures as well,
Waylon said. Oh, I still plan to go on adventures. I am an adventurer, after all.
And going on adventures isn't an easy thing to give up,
Waylon added.
Not even for an old man like me.
You're not that old, Alex said, smiling at his friend. Waylon laughed.
I hope I live long enough to hear the stories of your future adventures told.
Stories for another time, Alex said, as he and Waylon walked down the dock toward the city. There will always be stories for another time. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Adventurers Wanted, Book 5, The Axe of Sundering, by M. L. Forman. Performed by Kirby Hayborn. This program was produced by Kenny Hodges. Executive producers Chris Schobinger and Heidi Taylor. Copyright 2017 by Mark L. Forman. Production copyright Shadow Mountain. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.